Welcome to Messy Buns Podcast. I'm Mary.
This is Elise.
Very widespread in use, but very few users actually know what it is. Today we're talking about birth control. I hope you're ready.
I am.
Me too. I was born ready. Elise, I'm going to blow your mind with some birth control facts.
I am so excited. You have no idea. I may take notes.
As you have your notepad out. Cool. We'll see. Hopefully I can deliver, right? Okay, but before we get into birth control, I have like the greatest feel-good story.
This happened to hand motions.
Right? The feel-good. Framing it for you. This happened today. Okay.
Oh.
All right. Yeah. No. So seriously. Okay. So you know I played sports in high school, right?
Yes.
Like that was like my first passion before like anything else.
Which is
like
so weird.
I know because
you don't work out anymore or do any of it.
I know. And I also probably don't strike you as like whatever. Anyway, so my favorite sport's volleyball. So I played 4 years of volleyball, competitive volleyball, year round. But I was on the high school team, right? So, And those of you who play competitive sports, like, you know, and I'm sure you know, like, the connection between a coach and, like, the players is very unique and special. So, like, my high school volleyball coach was amazing. Everyone will tell you this about her. So, and she was a Christian, but she wasn't Catholic. I went to a Catholic school, but, like, she still incorporated, before every game, we prayed a Hail Mary. Like,
that's awesome.
It was so much more than just a sport, you know, like a good coach will incorporate like fundamental life values and skills like on the court. Cause as you're working so hard and there's so much like, you know, there's both wins and losses, like it's a very emotional experience. Like if you don't have someone that is really well-rounded teaching you through those moments, a lot can be lost. But she was just amazing and just was so much more than a coach.
Wow.
Well, when I was in high school, she had been there for a while coaching, but when I was there as one of her players, she got diagnosed with breast cancer.
Oh my gosh.
And so they called all the team out of class this one day and brought us to a room to share it with us. Because, again, you have that special connection. Like, they wanted to tell us first, you know? And so it was very, like, sad and stuff. And she went through the treatment and like it was a long drawn out process. I think she was in remission at some point. And but years later, it came back. It got worse years after I graduated and she ended up passing away.
Oh,
and I went to her funeral. I promise it gets better. This was a long time ago. This must have been like, 11 years ago she passed away. The reason I know that I'm about to tell you. So fast forward to December, right? As you know, I went to speak to Dominican about like women's health, et cetera, theology of the body. Really great experience, really great group of girls. Well, I know at least one of them was following me on Instagram. And one of the teachers that asked me to come speak emailed me the other day, you know this, right? And said, one of my students is writing a research paper in another class about the overprescription of birth control. And she was really inspired by your talk. And like, I was just, touched because, and you know, that this happened. And he was like, maybe you can connect, share some research. Well, she found me on Instagram. Like I said, I think she was already following me, sent me a message to ask for my email address. I said, of course, I'm so proud, like so proud of you. Go girl, you know?
Yeah.
So she emailed me this morning. And so I saw her full name. And the last name looks familiar. And so I was like, surely it's the same last name of my volleyball coach. So I went and I was like, let me just go look at her Instagram, see if I see any pictures or like any like explanation. Right. I go to her Instagram. What do you call home? I don't know where it shows all of their pictures.
Right.
Three pictures ago was a picture of my volleyball coach. And it was an older picture. I don't know if she was holding her or what. And she said it was 11 years since, I can't believe it's been 11 years since we lost you. It was like December 28th. So it's like almost exactly 11 years.
Oh my gosh.
And her name, I recognized, it's her daughter. This was her mother.
You've got to be
kidding. And she had her while she was coaching me. So I had.
Oh my gosh. That is such an awesome.
I nearly burst into tears. I like just these chills all over my body.
Total God
moment. I ran to my computer just to write her back. I wasn't ready to send her the research yet.
Right.
But I was like, I just have to share this with you. And oh, I wish I could share the email with you, but my phone is not here. Maybe I can pull it up. But I just wanted to tell her that like how much her mother meant to me. And like I said, your mom very much shaped me into the woman I am today.
Oh my gosh.
And I just can't believe, I was like, I knew you as a little girl, you know? So it was just so special. I can't find the email right now, but amazing.
Oh my gosh.
So like, I remember her being pregnant and coming, and here's this girl's grown up. And I just feel like my coach like connected us, you know, in this
oh,
way.
Absolutely.
And I'm so honored to be asked by, you know, about
yeah.
this. And anyways, I just wanted to share that.
Oh I'm my gosh, I can't. Like, I'm like blown away.
I am soaring just with this experience.
Oh my gosh.
That God has connected us.
This is where, again, amazing. I'm like, there is a God. Like, I'm sorry. That was totally God's hand right. all in it. She's up in heaven, Saint in heaven, intercessing, bringing you two together. Like, oh my freaking gosh.
And
how
it just
cool.
gave me an opportunity to pray for my volleyball coach. And just again, like, because
right.
you know, you forget. It's been so long.
Right.
And just remind me the impact she had on my life. Like,
yeah.
such a wonderful person and woman living on through her daughter.
Well, and to be grateful, I mean, like, I've been reading a lot about gratitude recently, and like, just to have that reminder of how grateful you are for her life, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And like, the joy that her life brought you, you know, and then here we go, here her daughter comes along and is bringing you more joy and more right. like purpose and meaning.
So that's all we have time for today, guys.
I know, I mean, right? Drop the mic. It's over.
No, but how fitting, too, that we're talking about birth control today.
I know.
And with this paper she's
that's
writing.
Insane.
You know, I thought a really good way to start out this conversation is just to kind of talk about the origins of birth control.
Yeah.
You know, like an understanding.
A basis, a foundation.
In understanding where we are today, we kind of have to understand where we're coming from. And so if we think about it, back in the 1960s, birth control was created to give men and women the ability to be more promiscuous, like, or just to have more sex without responsibility.
Right.
Period. I don't know how many people realize that. That is the purpose, like one of the purposes of why birth control was created.
Right.
And obviously, that's what happened. Like, we know the 70s and like the kind of lifestyle that was popular at that time. And just people wanted to be able to have sex without the quote unquote, you know, consequences, so to speak,
right.
of a pregnancy, et cetera. And so naturally, you're going to have more affairs. You're going to have more premarital sex, et cetera. You're going to have more. Things happen from that.
Right.
So I think that understanding is helpful. Now, on a biological level, birth control was specifically created to do three things. The first thing it was created to do is to introduce synthetic hormones into the woman's system to override the hormones that her body naturally produces to shut down the system of fertility, right? This is not how your doctor explains it to
right,
you.
Right,
you go and they're like, okay,
number one,
which birth control pill?
We're
going to
override your nostril
right.
system.
And this is one of the reasons it's so important to talk about because
right.
it is so widespread and like so many people use it.
Right.
But this is not, and I'm not saying they're intentionally withholding information from us, but
right.
it's a lot of information that they don't spend right. the time to communicate to us.
Right.
And this is easy.
Right.
Right. It's easy to prescribe. The doctor doesn't. They want to see a lot of people.
Right.
So they don't take the time off and they don't have the time
right.
To sit and talk through all these things with us.
Right.
Birth control is just given out a lot of times. So the first thing, again, synthetic hormones to shut down the system. Well, in more modern versions of birth control, the levels of synthetic estrogen and progesterone. So first of all, what I mean by synthetic is that on a biological level, it's got a different chemical structure
right.
than the progesterone and estrogen our bodies produce.
Right, right.
So it's not the same.
Right.
It's a fake version of hormones.
Right.
At first, it had a lot high levels of those, which were causing a lot of like health problems in women, death, you know, like, you know, like which we already have
right,
some
right.
risks of blood clots, et cetera. But it was happening a lot more frequently.
Right, right.
So they lowered over the years the amount of synthetic hormones in the drug so that it happens less frequently, but that means breakthrough ovulations occur more frequently because the synthetic hormones right. are lower. It's not right. shutting down the system all the time.
So basically, there's some chance of death and some chance of actually getting pregnant.
Right. Which one?
Like,
so that's why the second role of birth control is there, to thicken up that cervical mucus so that sperm cannot get through it to the fallopian tubes where conception occurs. Okay. So it's kind of like one backup mechanism where, hey, if you ovulate, maybe the sperm won't reach the egg.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
The third thing that it does is that it thins out that inner lining of the uterus, which is typically very thick and nutritious to prepare for pregnancy. Mm-hmm. So that, say conception does happen, say the sperm do make it through, conception happens, a baby, a new life is formed. Now it takes about 6 to 9 days from conception for that new baby to implant on the inner lining of the uterus for pregnancy. Well, if the inner lining is thinned out, the baby is going to have a very hard time implanting. And that's where the abortifacient aspect of birth control comes in, of any hormonal birth control. Any hormonal birth control is abortifacient. They say,
so it's not happening every single time, but there are times where it is happening, where they're actually conceiving, but the baby cannot implant. So it's an abortifacient.
The breakthrough ovulation, yes. And if this were to happen, you would potentially, there are many women who are conceiving children and then the inner lining isn't thick.
Right,
so they're miscarrying that baby or aborting that baby because the birth control was intentional and not knowing they were ever pregnant.
Oh my gosh.
The research says, now they have many different forms of oral birth control, right? Mm-hmm. So a popular one is, they have the estrogen, and I think the combination pill, that's what it's called, is, so they say the research shows that it's somewhere between like 1% and 30% of the time in a cycle breakthrough ovulation occurs.
Holy moly.
In the progestin only, which is a lower form, it occurs mm-hmm. even much more than that. I should have brought the statistics. I'm just thinking of it now. I can post it down in the show notes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But just so you're aware of how frequent it could happen in any cycle,
right.
that breakthrough ovulation. Now, you'd have to have intercourse at the right time and those other things. So it's less likely to happen. But that's why they say that birth control is an abortifacient.
Wow.
And that kind of explains it.
Holy moly. Like, I knew some of it, but I thought it was only with certain ones, and holy crap.
No, I mean, that's just the role.
Well, and like, to have multiple miscarriages and not even be aware of it.
You'd
like,
never know.
And it's not even really miscarriages, it's then abortions, you know?
Right.
Wow.
Now, I mean, obviously the culpability changes whether or not a woman is aware of this.
Right.
You know,
right.
a lot of people don't know that this is a function of birth control, but that's why the education is important.
Right.
This is a crucial part of the education.
But this is what kills me is that where is the, I don't want to take away from some of the things that you're going to say, but I'm like, is the empowerment? Like, you
Absolutely.
Know?
Absolutely. Well, that's the thing. Like here, okay, it's the purpose that birth control is created in the first place. Is to give men and women the ability to just have more frequent sex without so-called, you know, responsibilities, right?
Right. right.
Well, like we have responsibilities and like they're there for a reason. And then the mechanism is as often is very mindless. Like a woman can take a pill, you know, certain days of the month and doesn't have to think about it.
Right.
And, you know, we're told in culture that this empowers us. This gives the woman the ability to have a career or, you know, do whatever she wants. And she has a baby when she's ready to have it.
Right.
But what about understanding how our bodies work?
Right.
You know, like we talked about this a couple weeks ago on our pro-life episode about with Michelle Williams' comments. Mm-hmm. To say that women are not able to even have a child and do all the things that they are called to do is just not true.
Well, and to go even further, that they don't have the self-control enough to say no. You know, and even, I mean, let's take out like any religious beliefs or anything. If you had the education of understanding a woman's body, even on just general sense, you could actually choose to not have sex for right. certain days.
Right.
What is crazy, you know, I'm like, even take the religion out of it.
Absolutely.
And there's like a logical sense, and then you wouldn't have to disrupt and cause all these side effects and potential death and all kinds of, you know, what, breast cancer and right. Oh my gosh.
Well, and just to not understand all these mechanisms of like what birth control is actually doing, like what about the value of understanding how our bodies right. work? There's so much value. Like, why is it hidden from us?
Right.
I mean, it's so much more empowering to understand right. how our bodies right. work, to understand our days of fertility right. and our days of infertility, and to make daily choices
right.
with that information.
Well, I just
not to mention the health role that it plays.
Right. It's so funny as we're talking. I literally keep thinking of like early women's like liberation and just or early women's struggles. You know, where like don't educate women.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, it's literally the same. It's like
so ironic.
So we fight for all these years to be educated, to have a say, to vote, and then we're literally doing exactly what we fought against.
Yeah, it's like saying, here, take this, you know, birth control to hide basically your fertility and right. and its function under this right. blank or shroud or whatever. Versus like, wait a minute, I thought like women are smart. I thought we're strong. Right. I thought we can handle this. Like
right.
we have the capacity to understand, like we have the ability to understand this. Like
right.
why wouldn't we want to understand how our bodies work?
Yeah.
Not to mention like the whole, like we're in this movement of like whole foods and eating naturally these synthetic chemicals.
Right.
Yet, I mean, a large majority of women in the world are still ingesting, you know, or just taking in these synthetic hormones
right.
on a daily basis. That can't be good for us.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's crazy. Like as a diabetic, like an insulin dependent diabetic, like there's like synthetic versions of insulin. And then there's a human version, which actually I'm forced to take because as we know, my body is quite crazy.
Yes.
And so when I took the synthetic version, anytime I take anything synthetic, my body freaks out, mm-hmm. you know? So I was itching all over and everything. And so this, it's human insulin. It's called human insulin because it's the same idea of like putting, it's just like our insulin that our body creates. And I don't have any reaction to it. So it's like, if you want to know if something's like bad, just put it in Elise's body and wig out, you know what I mean?
Right.
And like, but that, can you imagine the long-term effects of that on somebody's body that they don't even know are going on, you know, because they don't have such a sensitive body like mine, you know what I mean? But the effects are still going on, you know?
Absolutely. It's unbelievable to think what we're actually putting in our bodies and don't understand it.
Right.
And it takes just simple education.
Right. You know? Right. And to go further, it's like, you know, the word abstinence has become like such a dirty word in society. You know what I mean? And it's like, I can't understand. I can understand where, you know, it's coming from. But the idea of self-mastery, like that's empowering, you know, to be able to say, I choose when to say yes and I choose when to say no, and that my desires and my passions are not going to overwhelm my logic and reason to where, for instance, right now, like I keep saying this, but I cannot get pregnant. So like I have to make those decisions of like, there's sometimes that I look at William and I'm like, hello, baby, you know, but my life is on the line. So I have to choose like, no, like I cannot do this. And honestly, I wouldn't even be able to take birth control. There's no way.
Right.
My body would not handle it. So I have to make a choice. My husband and I have to make a choice. And you know what? The fruit that's come out of that is all of these other things, because we're having to learn. I was just talking about this with somebody, a newly married couple. We're actually having to relearn, like in a sense, chastity and like right. saying no, because we've been infertile.
Right.
So we didn't have to worry about it. Yeah. So we're having to go back to these very basic things that, you know, we're like, man, like we suck at this, but the beauty of the growth that's happening because of having to say no and because of having to love each other over our desires. And then in those times, we're learning other
ways to communicate your love to each other. Right. And ultimately, it helps you to grow closer. So like sex is very good. It's a very good thing.
Heck yeah.
But again, self-control is a value in our culture to just about anything else.
Right.
Not sex.
Right.
Unless you're, you know, underage or consent is involved.
Right.
Right. So like we're having porn and like all this other stuff, these TV shows that talk about sex, soft porn, like all the time.
Right.
Like
right.
Yet it's like, no, but say no in only these particular circumstances.
Right.
It doesn't make sense.
Right.
Like it is very good and healthy for a married couple to decide to not have sex at certain points in their relationship.
Right.
It's just, and it's beautiful, like exactly what you're saying, but it kind of goes back to the original, you know, concept of birth control is that when we're doing these things so that we can do something else, like we're missing out on the more important things, like to hold off on saying no is really valuable and we lose that.
Well, and it's funny because we don't see necessarily, okay, like for instance, with overeating. Right.
That's exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Like you eat and you start to see your body decline, whether it be physically or physically, meaning like blood work or actual looking
like
at
fat.
You. Yeah. Like but and we can see the self-mastery being important there, you know, saying no and making good choices
or not stealing your neighbor's car that you really
want.
Right.
Right. But there's a very physical effect to all of that that we can see, but because we can't see like the emotional, the physical and all the other things that go along with a lack of self-mastery in sex, which is one of the most important, precious acts that we have, you know, like
I'm saying, yes, I don't want to bang my head on this
like,
microphone.
It just, it's just crazy to me. I just don't understand like logically how you can't like literally think that through, like, you know, using those examples of like, when I eat unhealthy, this is what happens. When I choose to keep doing something in an over excessive way, you know?
Well, and typically culture will blame it on something else when things aren't working out. You know, like blaming the government because I don't have unlimited access to birth control or abortion. Like, no, you're missing the point. Like, it's not, you know, unrestricted. The idea of unrestricted sex and genital contact that like we need a lot more self-control, self-mastery. Right.
Right.
And not to mention, if we can't say no, then what does our yes mean?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing.
It's bondage.
Right. And we need to do a whole episode just on that. Oh my gosh. Put that in the notes.
Put that in the notes.
People.
Hello. So also something else that I like to say when I speak to these high schoolers, I explain like this is what I just try to be very factual. Like I don't want to come at it as fear or anything.
Right,
but factually, this is what birth control does. And then finally I say, I mean, it was specifically created to make our bodies stop work the way that they're supposed to.
Right.
Like that's what it was. I mean, as our beloved Dr. Susan Caldwell often says, it's the only drug that is given us to us, like to make a healthy body not healthy.
That's insane. Yeah.
And that's just a fact. It's not something that's an opinion.
Right.
It literally breaks our bodies, you know, for what? For what purpose?
Right.
You know, so that we can have a little less self-control, a lot less self-control.
Right.
And we think about it that way, maybe we can start to see things a little bit differently.
Well, and this is why educating others and doing the ministry, and maybe you can talk a little bit about that, what you do, is so incredibly important because we do want to empower women. We do want women to have a choice.
That's what taking back the term is about, is that these choices are like, it's just not as we usually hear them in our culture.
So what is taking back the terms, just in case?
Yeah, it's the ministry I started about 4 years ago or so to, you know, we hear this women empowerment, choice, women's rights, reproductive rights. Like these words are screamed at us.
Right.
And like I like to say, I say on my website, like Inigo Montoya in The Princess Bride says, yes. You keep on saying that word. I do not think it means what you think it means. That's all I can think of. It's like, no, we're going to take back these terms and just like talk about facts and give you all of your options,
right.
All of your choices, like educate you. I'm not trying to force anybody into anything.
Right,
if you want to still choose birth control after you hear all the informations and the other options that are available to you, you're free to do that.
Right.
But exactly. I think that you deserve to understand it all.
Yeah.
Period.
You deserve a choice.
You deserve to have actual choice, which means there's multiple of them.
Right.
It's not just one.
Exactly.
So this needs to happen in our churches much sooner. It needs to happen in our schools. It needs to happen in homes, in hospitals, and it's just not.
Right.
So that's what I speak about. I speak about some other things too, but that's what I generally speak about and I'm on social media about.
Yeah. And where can they find you?
Taking back the terms, YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram.
And you give also, valuable information.
I have a
letter. In so many ways, like just by your posts, you have blogs, you have videos, like there's just so much value in the things that you have put out there in this ministry.
And my understanding keeps growing from here. So I'm able to kind of like just expand on different things about love, about sex, about theology of the body. It's all really incorporated. And it's really the more I think about it and just am open in prayer to see, like, you don't understand sex unless you understand your fertility.
Right.
Babies come from sex.
Right.
And babies come from our fertility. It's all intimately connected.
Right.
And so that's where fertility awareness is about, which kind of leads into the, so we talked about birth control in the first hand, and one hand about as far as like, you know, pregnancy and stuff.
Right.
We didn't even talk about what birth control, you know, as far as it goes with treating different like symptoms of women.
Yes.
Because you're going to have that large population of women that's like, okay, great. Well, I'm not on birth control to avoid a pregnancy. I have all these symptoms and I need to be on birth control.
So important.
Sister, I'm with you, first of all, because I got enough symptoms for the whole Louisiana. So I understand the appeal of something that will take away symptoms.
Right.
And I do just want to say first, I'm joking, but like I do express a lot of compassion for when I understand. Like, if there are times where I've absolutely considered being on birth control just to get rid of my symptoms. You know, I experience a lot of pain and I can understand women getting on it for that reason. There's sometimes nothing that we can do for the pain. That's understandable. But I know too much. And even in the amount of pain that I've experienced, I can't because I know too much. You know what I mean? I've been to the emergency room, all the pain multiple times. I still know too much. I can't put it in my body. But beyond that is just saying like what I explained to you before explains how birth control just shuts the system down. It's not actually treating anything, which is another thing we don't really get fully explained to us at our doctor's office.
Right.
I talked to a lot of women about this. They all agree.
And
I mean, personal experience is one thing, but I'm just one person. But this is not a rare situation. You know, as you know, I went to my first doctor's, you know, gynecology appointment being like, give me some answers. She was like, OK, I'll put you on the pills. Like, no, thanks. Move on. But again, even so, when birth control is prescribed to us, a lot of the information is what I was told was that it's meant to preserve your fertility until you're ready to have children. This was by the second doctor that prescribed it to me, not even the first. So that sounds great, right? Like I'm having all this pain that's supposed to get rid of my symptoms and preserve my fertility. Great. But the reality is, and I have the research to prove it, is that research cannot show that birth control actually stops the growth of endometriosis, for example, that it continues to grow.
Right.
So a lot of even doctors aren't even aware of this. Many times it takes the symptoms away, but again, it's just shutting the system off. We can't address the symptoms because we don't know what's causing them. Think about it. You go to your doctor's appointment. What kind of birth control do you want a prescription for? Whatever. Nobody asked any questions. Nobody did any investigation of what's causing the problem. We don't even know what the problems are. How many women understand what's going on with their cycle?
Oh, yeah. At 13 years old, I went into the emergency room bleeding profusely.
I remember this
story. And literally, they wanted to put me on birth control, which I I did go on for a short period of time.
Why wouldn't you?
But there was nothing, there was no investigation or anything after that. I bled for 40 days after that.
Oh my
and
gosh.
And there was nothing.
It's unbelievable, you guys, when we can take off the blinders and look. Right. Literally, any women's health symptom gets a prescription for birth control. That doesn't fly in any other area of medicine, guys.
Right.
It just doesn't make sense. It's not a one fit size fits all. I mean, you know, our conditions are not one size fits all. Yeah. We're so unique and individual as women.
Right.
Why not have a treatment plan that reflects our individuality, our uniqueness, our beauty?
Yes, girl. Yes.
Can't help it.
Gumbo's like, what the heck?
Scaring the children, the doggy children.
The furry children. Right. Okay. So is there a way to maybe, because it's such a broad subject, we need to do, well, I think what we need to do, obviously, is another episode specifically on, hey, there is this. You do have, there is availability. You do have a treatment that is individualized, but maybe give a little
taste. Can give you some cookie crumbs right now.
And then we will promise to do an episode specifically
on
that.
For sure, as you guys maybe know, I don't know, I'm studying to become a Creighton Model practitioner. My test is very soon, so I'll not be a student anymore. But
yay!
Yeah, it's great. So you know, and so first of all, there are many different very good fertility awareness based method options. You might have heard of them referred to as NFP or natural fertility. Oh my gosh, I can't. Natural family planning. See, I'm actually really glad I'm forgetting those three letters. I didn't even use the right words.
The connotation.
So part of what
just,
I do with taking back the terms is I'm trying to get rid of those three letters and replace them with fertility awareness because it's just more encompassing. Like it just makes more sense. It's not just about planning a family.
That's such a small portion of what's available.
Like it only becomes planning when it informs us about our days of fertility if a couple is using them for that.
Right.
But it's so much more than that.
Right.
So fertility awareness is a much better way to explain it and define it. So basically, there are many different methods, all of which will teach you in different ways how our bodies work and how we can identify days of fertility and infertility. And with most methods, they have some type of, I mean, the more popular methods, I should say, there are some things that you can tell, you know, if there's some low progesterone, some possible risk for miscarriages, a short luteal phase, which is the time after we ovulate until the next time before our period starts. There are some information that we can gather from those. The Creighton model specifically has taken it a lot farther with the medical
like a whole
extension
next level
of NAPRO technology. I don't want to downplay the other methods because they're still valuable tools.
And not everybody has as severe issues as you and I have had. So those work for them.
Yeah. And if, they fit differently into women's lives as well, depending on the methods of how we retrieve that information. But the Creighton model system was really cool because way back after the birth control was introduced, Dr. Thomas Hilgers was a physician at the time, a new physician, and Humanae Vitae came out by Pope Paul VI, where there was a coming out official that the Catholic Church was officially opposed to the use of birth control. A lot of people didn't understand it at that time, but there was a call to men of science and physicians, you know, people like that at that time to find a different option. Like God doesn't require or want us to have as many, children as that is physically possible. So it's okay to space out children, but it's our means of going about doing that.
Right.
So Dr. Hilgers like took that call seriously. Like a call from God. So that's what he did. And he started the research to give women another option to naturally avoid pregnancy. It was in that research. It's just so cool that he was gathering all this data from women's cycles. He accidentally
happens upon it,
identified that women who are having miscarriages, their charts all looked a certain way. Women who are infertile, their charts looked a certain way. So it was like this moment of wow, God is communicating to us through our bodies. Hello, language of the body, theology of the body. God is communicating to us. Like, what can we learn? Like, God, what are you trying to show us? That's what just the beauty of it.
It's insane.
It's how God has designed our bodies. And we would have actually not known maybe if it wasn't for birth control. So let's just think about put that in a perspective. Just the good that God brings out of bad things or, you know, evil things. Maybe I shouldn't say evil, but you know what I mean. So then that's
how what you know about it, you do feel that way.
True.
Let's be honest.
Yeah, I know. So Dr. Heilders took it from there, and that's where the research took off on the medical extension of the Creighton model, which is NAPR technology. And so the beauty of it and the reason it works like that is because it's standardized.
Right.
No
right.
other method is standardized. Right. So we all speak the same language, no matter where we are in the United States, internationally, right. all the certain observations, these, you know, biological markers mean different things. But only with the Creighton model system is how it's been, right. it works. So we have NAPR technology, specially trained NAPR technology medical consultants who go to an additional year of training. I'm sorry, that's the surgeons. The medical consultants don't go through a year of training, but it is extra training in addition to med school.
Yeah.
And that's for any nurse practitioner or physician that can right. be a medical consultant. So the medicine, these people, it doesn't work without the chart. The right, chart right. you can do alone without NAPR technology, but that informs the physicians on how to treat. So basically, it's basically understanding the menstrual cycle and right.
It's women's health.
So much for cookie crumbs. My bad, y'all.
But it's so good. But it really, sad, like what's crazy, not sadly, what's crazy is that that really is just the cookie crumbs. Like
yeah.
crumbs. Like, but the resources, like he has an entire book that you can, as a patient, read in depth about all these different conditions. And like, it's just, he wants you, and he says that, right? He mm-hmm. says he wants you to be a participant in your care.
Absolutely. Look at you. You got the memo.
Oh, girl, you know I do.
Yeah. So he says, for the first time, like, a woman can monitor and maintain her own reproductive and gynecological health. That's amazing.
Yeah. Talk about empowerment.
Well, it's being a part of your own healthcare. Like, you're not yeah. just trusting a doctor
yeah.
to, like you're very much a part of it. Like, you right. very much understand your cycle when you're charting.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, whether it's Creighton or any right. model, really, like, it's just a beautiful and empowering thing right. to understand how we work, understand why yeah. we have certain symptoms at this time. You know, some symptoms are natural, some are not.
Right.
But you got to know what's normal to know what's not normal.
Well, and that's where, like, to hearkening back to Michelle Williams and why it is so sad, because she talks about things happening to our bodies. Well, in her mind, that's how it works, because that's what the world has offered her. The scientific world has offered her only that, you
oh
know?
Oh my gosh, great point.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and so that's why that statement made my heart so sick. Like, not because I was angry at her, because of the lack of knowledge that she's been given.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so, and that's where we're failing women. So absolutely. In this world of, like, you know, women hear me roar, the thing that, like, is one of the most powerful, beautiful things about the difference of us is something that we're hiding, masking, trying to suppress, and everything else, you know, when we should be understanding the intricacies so that we can truly, like, understand and be with our bodies, you know? Like, I mean, like,
right?
Like I love that I know what the heck is going on with my body. And I love that I know, holy moly, something's different. I need to go talk to somebody about this, because this isn't what has been happening. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's crazy. I mean
you want to talk about empowerment. Like, I've got 4 days of bleeding, like light bleeding before my period starts, that tells me, and you know, I have a history of low progesterone. That means that right. like, my progesterone is low. I'm at risk for miscarriage.
Right.
I need to take progesterone. Like
right.
the empowerment that we have to just yes. understand. Yeah. I'm just talking about one example of something that could right. happen. Right. Not that it's like that for every woman,
right.
but to know these things, like, what does limited mucus mean? Right. Like, all these things, that's empowerment. Right. You don't get more empowered than that as a woman.
Well, and just like the knowledge that we're not supposed to have pain every month. That was like
right. oh,
mind blown. Okay, yeah. So we're going into like a whole nother episode. Yeah. We need to talk, stop, because we both get really excited about this and passionate. So we promise you we will do an episode probably or more. We'll probably do multiple episodes on very specific topics about this. But also, you can go to Mary's, you know, all of her resources, because she has, I mean, in-depth videos, posts, and all kinds of stuff that are right at your fingertips for mm-hmm. you. So,
yeah. I also have a new website, marygbruno.com is where you can go if you would like me to speak somewhere.
Absolutely.
And there's some more information and resources there, too.
And she can bring all this good knowledge to your brain.
I don't have a word of the day because my phone's over there.
Okay. Surprise. Well, I think that we've talked significantly.
Yeah, I think we talked everybody's ears off. So
yeah, I think we're good. So, you know, I think it's time to maybe
go out with a song. Yeah. I agree. Thank y'all so much for hanging out with us and fighting with us about this important information. We hope that it's been helpful to you and that you learned a little bit of something that you can share with someone who needs it.
Brain matter is probably on the back of the wall.
Splattered everywhere. We need to clean it off.